This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Whether you're a business, an athlete, they'll get you going. NILGameChangers.org. Great to have you with us. Wes Durham from the ACC Network a little bit later in the show. High School Roundtable later in the show. But we now bring in somebody who's worked himself into an emotional lather to be on the show today. Because he was so excited yesterday, he just... Let's go now. Nate Bauer, sir, welcome. Great to have you with us. He joins us from the Fifth Fairway.
You read my mind. I've been jonesing for this all day.
And we'll start with this. John Rothstein essentially confirmed what you and I talked about in, I don't know, was it May? About Indiana and the Palestra?
There you go. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while. I actually hadn't seen that. Did he just do that today, I assume, recently?
I think John put it out today.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, that,
now,
you know...
That tells me two things.
Track when you're that far ahead of it, you know, Steve?
Right. Well, no, I understand. You and I are not sitting there going, really? What this tells me is that if that information by John is out there, that means they've got... They're now really close to actually releasing a Big Ten basketball schedule.
That is true. And now, 'tis the season. This is when it happens. So, probably next week, I would think. But, yeah.
They can't go much later than that, Nate. Only because, I mean, you got to have people have to start making plans. For example, I'll give you an example. Like, Penn State would love to play a game in Rec Hall. Well, not even Penn State knows, because they don't know the schedule. Not even they can plan ahead on something like that to then let the fans know until the Big Ten tells them what the deal is.
Yep. Yep. No, it's, you know, look, there. It's it is a television world, and that dictates everything. And, yeah, I mean, I knew that Penn State, and, you know, these are separate conversations, but Penn State just came out with its non-con last week, the week before.
Yes, last week.
Right? Yep. So, but that was due to the fact that Penn State really waits for every, T to be crossed and I dotted on those contracts. And those things can be fickle sometimes. So the fact that they finally got that done. They were hoping to get that done ahead of the Big Ten release, which puts this right in that window. It's like I said, 'tis the season.
Well, and I'll give you an example of crossing T's, dotting I's. Whomever negotiated the Penn State West Virginia 2-game series, normally when you play that series, I'm talking about in football now, right? Normally, you have your conference officials at the away site. This time, it was the Big 12 officials. That's what when we talk about I's and T's, that's it.
Wasn't a great day for the profession on Saturday.
No, a slight setback.
You know, it's funny. I years ago, man. 16, maybe, I think it was 16, for the blue-white game, the Big Ten Network had me shadow Jerry McGinn.
Yeah, Jerry's a great guy, and I have a lot of respect for Jerry. Jerry, in fact, did one of the Penn State football scrimmages last month.
Awesome guy. Mm-hmm. The whole experience was great. you know, the team, right? The team around, like, they've got their own operation, right? The football game, in my mind, there are three teams out on that field at all times, right? The two opposing teams, and then a team that is working to collaborate and try to call a game as fairly as they can. Right. And it was a very enlightening process. I never go down the path of intention, but certainly, you know, I think in Saturday's case, especially in terms of some of the replay reviews, a lack of attention to detail, right, and just not being thorough, led to some questionable at best decisions that crew came up with.
The on-field guys, I normally don't have a big problem with over the years.
Yep.
Everything's quick. It's bang, bang, the whole thing. My problem over the years, surprisingly, has been with the replay guys. I've had a lot of problem with the replay guys because now Jack and I don't get what they're looking at sometimes. We don't understand what they're seeing. The guys in the field, and the women as well. So the men and women on the field, it's quick, it's fast, they've got to make decisions and so forth. I don't have a problem with that, Nate. It's the replay people who actually have time.
Yep. Yeah, I think, and this, again, this is my just a little bit of outside perspective, but I think there is such an adherence to the word conclusive that it is all lengths of the earth will be pulled out to try to justify the original call being correct. And so I think that tends to be how those things don't get overturned, is, you know, it's an erring so far to the extreme of, hey, is there a possibility that this camera angle deceives in terms of where a spot should be, you know, whether a catch is made, you name it, right? I mean, any of those things. So I get it. There's a lot of people. I mean, honestly, I don't know if you saw it, but Neil Brown, his post game, overwhelmingly, aside from being ticked at his team not playing well, was him being upset by calls that were made against West Virginia. And, you know, certainly the Penn State fans who saw that were fairly dumbfounded that a guy who was the beneficiary of quite a few arguably botched calls could come up with that. But, you know, that's the name of the game.
Well, there, that's his conference officials. So,
yeah.
Level of play, opener, context of opener. What did you think overall of Penn State's level of play in the context of an opener?
Yeah, I thought it was, look, and I'm sure you get into the same space that I do, which is you see the overreactions in both directions. So at the beginning of the game, it was West Virginia being able to move the ball a little bit on Penn State's defense, right, getting into to the fringe red zone, right, the scoring zone there, ending up with some field goals. That led to, oh, Abdul Carter's position change was a mistake.
You live in a very interesting world. I think we lost him there. So let's give him a chance. There we go. Let's give him a chance to get back. Ah. Nate sounded better before than that. All right, so we'll give him an opportunity to get back on the line because he was cut off there momentarily. We were talking about being online with people as the game plays out, thus you're getting the comments from the fan base in real time, which, of course, bring with them real-time emotional reactions. And we're going to talk to Nate about that here in a moment and get that back up there. By the way, just a couple of notes, by the way, on the renovations. They're continuing at Beaver Stadium. And Just let me know as soon as we get Nate back, okay? One of them is, and this is something that Pat Kraft talked about last week on the coaches show, that the escalators may not be ready for Saturday. That's fine. And Pat mentioned that last week, and I know Nate's now back. Hello, sir.
Oh, my goodness. That was heartbroken. I don't know how much you missed. I might have been talking for 2 minutes before I realized the call cut out.
I feel like we missed the best part, because what's interesting about what you do is you get the emotional reactions of the fans online in real time.
Yep.
And not every reaction is a positive one.
That's true. But some of them are. And I guess kind of the way that I started that last response was, there was a lot of consternation over Abdul Carter and not coming up with sacks and the defense being, it was a Penn State had a lead at 13-6 with 38 seconds to play. I will say this: in the aftermath, the forget the middle eight, the middle. Right, the last 30 seconds of the first half and then the first 5 minutes of the second half completely upended every context of that game that could have been very, very different. Certainly, I don't think that West Virginia was ever truly in a position to win that game, but Omari Evans having a 55-yard reception it changed everything. It changed all kinds of perceptions to where fans, like I said, it kind of swung the pendulum from, oh my goodness, this defense isn't as good as we thought it was, into, oh my goodness, this offense is so great, playoffs, here we come. Well, right? It was quite a wave in between with a 2.5 hours delay in the middle.
But what was interesting about the Evans play is the play before. It's the run by Singleton.
Yep.
I think that made West Virginia believe that Penn State was going to the locker room. And instead of playing cover three, they played man.
Yep.
And they got burned by it. If they played cover three, that you'd try to lure a team into making that throw. But they played man. I mean, that was it's strategically just an absolute mistake by West Virginia.
Big mistake there. I agree with you in the sense that as soon as I saw Nick's carry get stopped, you're not sure what the immediate reaction from that is going to be. But Penn State was hurrying up. they rushed into that next play, and they took. I mean, it was not long before they took that next shot. And I do think that there's a side conversation that probably is not getting enough attention, which is Omari Evans doing the thing that Penn State has been desperate for him to do and has been working with him to be able to do. He did it. He was physical, right? If he had drawn an offensive pass interference, I think James Franklin would have been just as proud of him as coming down with that reception.
Right. There's another part. This is what, in my career, it's the third weather delay I've gone through. Ohio State in 2000, the 2017 game, Michigan State in this. I watched Penn State warm up after the break. And I know that Chuck wanted 20 minutes. They ended up getting 15. He said that's fine. Penn State went through its warm up and was crisp and on point. And West Virginia warmed up for 8 or 9 minutes and walked to the sideline. To me, that was like a telling moment about the mindset of the two teams.
I thought in a lot of ways. And we're up in the press box. We have views from a bunch of different angles of the parking lots, and it was an exodus, right? A lot of fans gave up, they left, and so the atmosphere Look, like if you're West Virginia, the wind got knocked out of you, basically. Between the last 30 seconds of the first half, the weather delay, and then a bunch of fans vacating, right, the premises. They didn't come back. And so there was never any real juice on West Virginia's side of things coming out of the break, and Penn State took advantage of it. I mean, it was a foundational step for Penn State to have just handled its business. I just thought it was such a mature performance, really from beginning to end, aside from some of the pre and post snap penalties that obviously happened on the defensive side of the ball. But to go to West Virginia, to have all that hype, to have all the situation that existed going into that game, and then just really kind of brush it off and say, okay, this is who we are. We're going to show you who we are. We're going to go out there and play, you know, our game. I think it signaled a solid foundation for Penn State to build on.
No question. Is this then moving forward? Look, Penn State's the prohibitive favorite this week. Everybody on the planet knows it. I'm not so sure they know it in Molly, but that's okay. But everybody knows that they are. What kind of test of maturity is this game for this football team?
Yeah, I think I go back to last year in some ways in saying that Jay Franklin in the post game, it's not a complaint, but he's acknowledging the fact that you look around the rest of college football and a lot of programs choose to treat week one as something of a preseason. Well, Penn State's preseason is on a delay. It's on a one-week delay. They had to be ready and prepared for that first game. And now they can focus on maximizing development over, at minimum, the next 3 weeks, right? You got two games against opponents that Penn State should very easily handle, and it is critically important to program development to not just win, but to maximize the win. And that does require a maturity that you're talking about. It is not okay for Penn State, in James Franklin's mind, to simply win these games. They need roster building by making everyone who is not part of the core 22 feel part of a win. I cannot overstate how much of this stuff is now in play in an NIL and transfer portal world. It becomes critically important to take advantage of these opportunities, and I think that Penn State's going to treat it as such. I think Penn State's going to, I see some scores, and it, you know, I don't know what the spread is, 30, 31 something. I think that Penn State will score as many points as it possibly can to maximize every available opportunity they have to get as many players involved as they possibly can. And on the front end of that, that requires your top end starters, your first string, to perform exceedingly well in the first quarter of the game. And then you go from there.
Right. No, exactly. And I think that'll be the important part of it on Saturday, as to what they can do, how many people the door is open to getting into the game. As always, I knew you were excited about the segment. I sensed it almost matched your anticipation.
Listen, I'm just upset that the phone cut out on me halfway through. But we made it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'll see you there.
I thought your recovery on the answer was probably better than the original answer.
Listen, I'm just trying to get better. You know, 1% every day. That's it.
You're the best. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. All right. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. Next half hour, our high school roundtable. Wes Durham at the top of the hour from the ACC Network. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Purdy Insurance will take care of all of your insurance needs, and they will do a great job of saving you money. It's all Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for the high school roundtable. So where do we start?
We have Mr. Greg Wetzel.
Greg, how are you today?
Howdy.
Yeah, you doing all right?
Yep, everything's wonderful, Steve.
Good. Good. Rumors running rampant. You were under par this week?
That is a rumor. You're exactly right. Not quite under par.
I would like to point out the rumor was started by you. So now let's... Lewisburg goes out, gets another job done. Are you seeing a building process with this team?
They're really playing well together, Steve. Defensively, especially. I mean, they're flying to the ball, playing a good team defense. Staying defensive linemen doing their assignments. That's making the linebackers play better. Defensive backs have played well for them right now so far. Offensively, they're just doing what they have to win. They're doing just enough, essentially, to win the game. I mean, they beat Shikwimi by a score of 30-0, but that score is a little deceiving. I'm sure Dave will tell you the same thing when he's on. Shikwimi tired in the second half, and Shikwimi was making the stops in the first half. Well, the second half, they became arm tackles, and Lewisburg was breaking those tackles and getting bigger yards. So, they're doing just enough to win offensively and playing great team defense.
Yeah, when you look at because of how they now play offense, what has that done for the play calling? Because there are more options available.
Well, they are trying to get the passing game going, and if they get the passing game going, it's going to really open up the running lanes for Jeremiah Davis. Right now, they completed 5 passes in 2 games for roughly 40 yards, a little over 40 yards. Receivers are open. It's just, the ball's a little late getting there. Sometimes the receiver drops the pass. Sometimes it's a contested ball, and, you know, the defensive back makes a nice play. So it's a combination of things. But if they get the passing game going, they're going to be tough to defend, because they have three quality running backs, and the quarterback can also run the football.
When you look at the next game, the one coming up, what are a couple of things you want to keep in mind as you watch Lewisburg play the game?
Number one, I think you want to make sure you're watching Jeremiah Davis. I mean, he is the premier player on the team, okay? And when I say that, you just don't see many high school running backs that his cutback ability, his ability to break tackles, and he has speed to outrun a lot of high school players. That's the first thing. The second thing you want to watch is the play of the defensive line. Hayes Schumacher has done a really good job playing defensive tackle. And in the defensive tackle scheme that Lewisburg runs right now, the quarterback rolls out. He has outside containment a lot in those. And he has done a remarkable job in outside containment of keeping the quarterback in the pocket. Last week he even got a sack. He tipped two passes also. So he's done a great job of doing that. Linebackers, they're just flowing to the ball. And the front seven for Lewisburg is just fun to watch defensively. They make good tackles. There aren't a lot of tackles being broken. They're in sound positions to make the plays. And to me, they're a fun team to watch right now, Steve.
Which then brings us to this one. The ability to handle success. How important is that element?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's funny you brought that up. I was at practice, let's see, Tuesday night for a bit. And after practice, that's what the coach was talking about. Guys, we're 2-0, but we have to practice like we're 0-2. You know, we want to practice harder. Mm-hmm. We want to practice the right way. And what's happening is they're having a practice of say, an hour and a half, an hour and 45-minute practice. Well, 45 minutes of it's a good practice, then all of a sudden they lose focus. Mm-hmm. And they start making mistakes, mental mistakes at their practice and stuff like that. And the coach is saying, look, if we want to keep being successful, you got to keep practicing at a high level. And I didn't get back to practice on Wednesday night to see it, and I hope to get there tonight to see how they do tonight. But they were losing some of the intensity and mental awareness at practice on Tuesday night.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. So, Todd, we go next to Dave, or is it going to be you on Sealands Grove?
It's the chief is here.
Chief.
Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
How much is Shikellamy hurt by depth and getting tired in the second half of games?
I think that's part of the reason they're having some problems. Depth, and they were missing one of their key defensive people this week, too. But I think both of those are. I think Coach Kizer addressed that when Kevin talked to him before the game last week about the fatigue. And I'd say that's a big part of it. I will tell you, I think another thing is the fact that they basically were playing very well, and Lewisburg ran a fake punt and got a first down, and it kind of changed the whole atmosphere of that game because they scored off of it then. And of course, I always thought when you score the first touchdown, the other team has to learn how to come back, and Shikellamy hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, which is a tough thing to do. Now,
yes, it is.
Here's the part: some teams aren't built to come back. Penn State just did the opener with West Virginia. And Jack and I talked about playing with the lead, especially you get up by 2-3 scores, because West Virginia is not built to be a comeback team. Is Shikellamy built to be a comeback team?
I think, you know, I don't know if I can answer that question. I've seen two games where one game where they were had the lead and they didn't keep it, and another where they never did get the lead and just couldn't come back from it. I'm hoping that they're a team that doesn't have to come back many times. That would be the best way to handle that situation. And it's, I'm sure that's the way Coach Kizer would like it too. Playing from behind is like you said, very difficult, and especially when another team has a lot of momentum.
How many two-way players does Shikellamy have right now, and if it and do they have too many?
Well, I would think they probably have 7 or 8 that go both ways. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that they have to go both ways. There isn't anybody that they have to fill in. I do know this. Last year they had several that went both ways, and a lot of them were underclassmen, and those underclassmen are back again. So, I thought they might get themselves acclimated to it. My own personal experience is once you go that you play offense and defense, and sometimes you have to do some of the specialty teams, you adjust your whole attitude and you just do it. And I thought when I coached and when I played that Shikellamy, especially with Coach Purnell, we were in shape that you could go both ways. So maybe that's the answer, that's something that is it's up to the kids. They're the ones that have to get themselves in the best shape.
See, on punts and kickoffs, I'd make changes. I mean, I don't need them getting sprints at that point. I need them to be able to play. I mean, do they have enough guys to do that?
I think they could. That's another thing that, again, I'm just going by my own experience with who I've coached with. A lot of times that's where you fill in with some players that don't get a lot of playing time. Mm-hmm. And, I think Coach Kizer has some kids they can put in there, but then let's go the other route. You put somebody in there that can't do it just to give them playing time, and it's difficult for them too. Again, I haven't seen I've seen 2 games in a scrimmage, and right. I really think that the big problem is a little bit of lack of experience for some of the kids too. So, but you're absolutely right. Coming off on a kickoff or coming off on a kickoff return or a punt or a punt return gives you that little bit of a break, and sometimes it can be well enough to rejuvenate you.
All right, so how do you view this week's game?
Well, I watched Shamokin. I watched them against Pottsville, and I watched them against Lake Lehman. And they probably have the biggest team that I've seen in many years. And their guys on the line just aren't 275, 280, but they're athletes. They play very well. They have a good quarterback second year that he's played, and of course Shamokin always has somebody that's I label them as the 100 meter champion because they're very fast. This is a really good Shamokin team. I really am impressed with them, and there's experience there too. The Braves are going to have their hands full. They're going to have to play hard, and they're going to have to get some breaks too. The best thing could happen to them if they could force some turnovers here's the best thing they could do: make that field long for Shamokin, so they have to go 80, 70 yards for a touchdown. You give them a short portion, they're going to be in no time at all. So it's a good Shamokin's a good coach. Mark Persing has a good squad this year.
Hey, always, Dave. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. All right. You have a good day, too.
You, too. All right. So now we get to Sealands Grove. That's your job. I know you were at the Shikellamy-Lewisburg game last week, so I do understand that.
Well, the Sealands Grove is heading up to Jersey Shore tomorrow night up at Thompson Street Stadium. They will be looking for their first win up there since 2016, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I did talk to Coach Wenrick a little bit last night. The issue down at Twin Valley was not Twin Valley was a better team. He wasn't sad with their some of the stuff that they did on the field. It was more committing dumb mistakes, penalty. We talk a lot you know, all levels of football about pre-snap penalties, and they kind of struggled with that, and they gave up some big plays, and he kind of he mentioned that he put them in pads on Monday just to, you know, get a full workout in, and he likes what he's seen since Monday. But this is, you know, this is always such a tough trip for anybody to go up there and, you know, play at that stadium. It's, you know, everybody's on turf now, and Jersey Shore still has their grass field. It's small, it's tight. Everybody is there, you know, on top of you, and you know they're pointing to this game. You know, I think everybody knows what happened last year in the regular season meeting.
That's right.
And they're having, you know, they told people to, you know, it's an orange out. You're supposed to wear number 4 for Max Angle. So
right.
These people are kind of prepared for the Seals to come up. And, you know, this is a different group of Seals Grove players for the most part. There's a couple kids back, but we'll see how, you know, they handle the environment and being, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, everybody's enemy for 2 hours.
Oh, sounds so harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like our staff meeting. All right. Hey, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When car repairs get difficult,
well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
See, John Sterling's going to come back and call Yankee playoff games. Wow.
That wasn't a long retirement.
Yeah. Hey, good for him. I mean, they'll be out in one round anyway, but still.
One game even, maybe, the way it's been going.
Oh, that just sounds so cruel. I mean, I wouldn't even say that to one. No, I probably would say that to Matt.
Yeah.
Just to get him a little bit off the rails. Chiefs-Ravens tonight. And then Packers-Eagles tomorrow. Did you see that the Eagles players received a long list of don't do's to go to Brazil? Like, really? Really? So you're going to send two teams to a place and give them a list of things. Hey, don't do that. Really? That's not exactly encouraging. How about that?
I was a little surprised. You'd think they would, unless it was a little safer in Brazil when they awarded this game, but there's more warnings and do's and don'ts for this foreign game than there has been for any of the other ones by far.
Yeah. I mean, over and over again. You're like, what the heck? I mean, you're the one that put the game there. Right. And the players are like, I think we're just going to go to the hotel, hang. Then when it's time to go, we'll go over to the game. Go out and see Sao Paulo. No, we're not going to do that. Okay. Right.
Not exactly encouraging. Meanwhile, the city of Sao Paulo has beefed up security. Eagles players have questioned security in the city. A.J. Brown said, we had a meeting with a whole bunch of don't do's. So I'm just going to go down there, win a football game, and come back home. He said the players were advised not to walk on the streets holding cell phones. Really? Darius Slay said, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much. We can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. Then he had to put out the usual. He apologized if he offended anybody. The whole thing, okay.
Sounds they're exactly going, where you want to send a roster full of two rosters full of millionaires.
No problem. Sao Paulo state government said it would delegate specialized civil and military police battalions to reinforce security during the game and place police officers on streets, trains, and subway stations along with hotels and tourist attractions. Brazil in 2023 ranked as the 17th most dangerous country in the world by murder rate. But just so you know, Ecuador and Mexico are actually ahead of them.
Are they playing in Mexico City later this year?
not sure. Sao Paulo State says the local homicide rate is four times lower than the national average and compares to that of California while standing below Washington, D.C., for example. How encouraging.
Four times below. So Brazil's murder rate is four times California's. My Lord.
Yeah.
That's crossing that place. Well, not that I could afford it, but crossing that off my vacation list.
Sao Paulo out? No, oh, really. there's an old saying, no guts, no glory.
Well, this is true.
Right? But at the same time, you want to survive.
Yeah, I can... I'll stick with Ocean City.
Let's go overseas. Hey. Come down to Brazil. Yeah. Let's go on the town. I don't think so. Jeez. The weather forecast has changed slightly for Saturday, by the way. We'll see if this part holds up. Some showers in the morning until about 10. And then after that, maybe a brief shower at 1 o'clock, but that's it for the game. This is according to what AccuWeather put out. It's going to rain until about 10 in the morning. And sporadically, by the way. No rain at 11 or noon, maybe a passing shower at 1, and then no rain after that.
Guess it was a soccer game at 9:30 Saturday morning.
Yeah, you do.
Yep, be standing in the rain.
You do. West Durham, next half hour. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.